are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right and covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. This show goes way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. We're going to jump on into Dipper number one here momentarily. Let me grab the last two or three texts that are sitting in the queue before I don't lose time on those. Kim from Athens said, did you see how electric cars handled the hard winters? Yeah, not so well. Same with the giant wind farms. Didn't do so well in the brutal colds. JT Lacey Springs said, here's a borrowed comment. 90% of EVs still on the road. The other 10 made it home. I love that. Frank from Huntsville sent me a meme. Has a picture of Has a picture of somebody got a Ford Mustang EV, and in the picture of it says, Happy Father's Day, Dad. And then down below it, it shows a 68 Mustang, a Shelby Cobra Eleanor edition that says, you aren't my son. Got it. John from Huntsville says, I just want to say I think Big Rig ought to be nominated to win an award for Taco Tuesday sound effect. It gets better every time I hear it. So there you go.
Nice.
All right, listen, jumping on in here, so segueing straight off of that monologue, let's talk about the Green New Steel for a bit. There's a whole lot being done to gerrymander our economy so that it fits the Biden green agenda. And it is absolutely 100% without fail, unequivocally, a Green New Steal. They are just blowing through your tax dollars and then printing more when they need them. They're creating things that make no sense. And then, oh, by the way, they regulate the issue so that half the problems that we encounter with trying to implement the agenda that they have mandated can't be done because of their regulation. The idea that we're going to suddenly be able to replace the vast number of combustion engine vehicles with battery-powered vehicles sounds really neat when you say it in a PowerPoint presentation or an activist carries it on a sign when they do their, you know, their protests in the streets or when they glue themselves to an art object in the museum. But the truth of the matter is, let's break it down to practicalities. If you're going to build an EV, you've got to have the materials to build it, right? Well, Phil, tires are tires. You make tires already. No, actually, it's different. The tires are different on an EV because of the weight. So the weight of the tires and wheels is actually different. You're going to burn through tires on an EV if you don't have the right kind. Well, I mean, you still got moving parts and things and drivetrains and seats and steering wheels and things. I get it. You do. You also have an incredible amount of weight built of materials that combustion engine cars don't require, or at least don't require at that level. Like, let's take a look at one. Here we go. Daily Signal has a piece that came out just yesterday afternoon. Headline says, EV mandates and copper mining bans are mutually exclusive. Yep. By the way, all these resources are available on the website. You can go to the website. The live stream page has a button called Resources. Anytime you hear me rattling a piece of paper, that means there's an article that's linked on that Resources tab. If you want to go find it yourself and say, hey, man, I got to find that article, well, I've made you a list, and there they are in the Resources tab on the live stream page of today's show. So here's the deal. Story on Daily Signal, Dateline yesterday, global governments pushing for rapid transition to EVs and to wind and solar are creating a demand for copper that threatens to undermine the very goals they seek to achieve. All right, so raw materials, precious metals, are huge in the entire green energy sector. Now, we could talk all day about what they do to the environment just to mine these things out, right? But let's just talk about quantities of just one of them. Let's pick copper. I mean, at this point, I'm about to read you this article. Some of y'all are going to go out and invest in copper, I can guarantee. It says, according to a recent International Energy Forum report, electrifying the global vehicle fleet is going to require the opening of 55% more new copper mines than are already needed. 55% more new copper mines than we currently have in existence, y'all. Twice the total amount of copper that has ever been mined throughout human history will be needed over the next three decades. Good Lord. Is there going to be any copper left? Global demand for copper, it says, is expected to double by 2035. This gives the advantage, by the way, to China, because China currently controls 44% of the world's refined copper. Six times bigger than the next nearest, which is us. All right. Since copper is a core component in electronics, raising the cost of copper then makes it far more difficult for developing areas of the world to then access energy. All right. So what happens is supply and demand, right? It's basic economics, supply and demand. You're going to have copper supplies are regulated and they're dwindling and they're not being expanded so that we can meet the need, the demand for it. So the demand is going to increase, the supply is going to decrease, the costs are then going to go up. Poor countries are going to be left in the lurch while wealthier companies are going into their first world problems and making sure they have the latest electronics in their Tesla. How about this? A typical EV requires nearly 200 pounds of copper. One EV, 200 pounds of copper. That's four times the amount needed for a combustion engine vehicle. All the wiring, all the batteries, all the componentry. 200 pounds of copper per EV on the average. All right, what about wind and solar? Come on, Phil. You can't just say it's just EVs. That's right, it's not. A typical 3-megawatt wind turbine, one turbine, requires 9 tons of copper. What? Yes, 9 tons of copper. That's 18,000 pounds of copper just for 1 3-megawatt wind turbine, which is more than the weight of a whole school bus. Wind power requires 7 times the amount of copper to produce the same amount of energy that natural gas or coal does, 5 times the copper as nuclear power. Good gosh. All right, let's keep it going. Despite an estimated 890 million tons of reserves that we have in our ground right now, which is 400 times the amount we need right now, America faces significant hurdles expanding its capacity because of regulatory obstacles. No, you don't say. Yes, I do. Like, for instance, there's a copper mine in Arizona. It's called the Resolution Copper Project in Arizona. It was approved in 2014. Oh, 2014. That's 10 years ago. They must be mining the crap out of that right now. Nope, they haven't even opened. It is completely stalled. Why? I mean, it can be producing half a million tons a year. Regulations. Because the same people that demand that we switch over to EVs and green energy are the same people that overregulate our ability to then access the materials necessary to do it. The hypocrisy of this is unbelievable. So what they do is they drive us into the arms of places like China. If you want cobalt or copper, guess who's got the most of it right now? China. Why? Because they're willing to go after it. Meanwhile, in the United States, we sit on massive reserves. I mean, just look at the size of our nation. You can just imagine with that much geography, we're going to have more natural resources. And it's true. We have massive natural resources for copper, even for cobalt, but we have a regulatory burden that makes it almost impossible to get to it. Just to invest in what it takes to even be approved. I know some people right now that are trying to approve a shoreline project that does nothing except just exist somewhere near a wetland. Oh my gosh! The level of regulatory burden they've been having to go through for years to get their project just started for construction is unbelievable. Meanwhile, you've got a 10-year-old approved copper mine in Arizona, and they can't even get it going. Meanwhile, the Biden administration forces us to move towards EVs and solar and wind, all of which take an exponential amount of copper, and we haven't even gotten to the other precious metals yet. That's where we are. This Green New Steel is literally almost, it's almost like if someone said, you know, how can we get ourselves like fully dependent on China? Well, here's an idea. How about you retool the economy? Make sure that we have to move towards certain things and away from other things. But the things that we have to have, make sure you can't get them here and we have to get them there. And then next thing you know, voila, we're all speaking Chinese. I'm just saying, this is absolutely some of the worst governance I have ever seen. I understand import-export, all right? I understand the geopolitical aspects of international trade. I get it. This is not that. This is called pure policy jackassery that requires us to retool our economy, but won't allow us to do it in a way that we control the flow. It requires us to go to China under our current existence. And I'm just the whole thing, the Green New Steel just boggles my mind. And I'm not even opposed to the idea of having a wind farm. I mean, if you want a wind farm, I don't like them. Go build it somewhere else. But what I'm saying is, if you want to have a wind farm, okay, make it viable. If you want to have solar, I guess I get it. But they're really not that viable right now. Oh, Phil, they work just fine. Yeah, when you level the ground and kill all the animal life in the area. But we're saving the environment. Well, you just crushed a huge section of it to build your freaking wind farm. And then how much copper did you have to mine? And how much cobalt had to come out of some sweatshop in Congo? They don't think these things through. They don't. The Green New Steel, it's about optics. It's not about realities. Absolutely about optics. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll take a break. I'm still in number one, though. I'm moving forward. The Green New Steel. I got news. We're looking at it right now. Dozens of energy groups are asking Congress to overturn a brand new power plant rule. I'll tell you about that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. Man, this first hour's flying by. Hey, so listen, Green New Steel. You might be interested to know another story from the Daily Signal. Dozens of energy policy and advocacy groups are pushing Congress to repeal one of President Joe Biden's signature climate policies. Really? Yes. A brand new story here, June 3rd, yesterday, from the Daily Signal. There's 40 organizations that have signed up, taking aim at what it calls the EPA's recently finalized emissions reduction regulations for coal-fired and natural gas plants. So, by the way, a lot of our household electricity, the things that power our local economies, come out of coal-fired and natural gas plants. Despite the fact that some of them had to shut down, even right here in our area where I'm talking to from right now. But this letter says basically that they need to overturn the rules because the regulations are going to wind up just crushing the ability to generate electricity. So the EPA's rules were finalized last month or the month before April, I guess it was. Requires many existing coal plants and new natural gas facilities to control up to 90% of their emissions by 2032. The mandate effectively will require plant operators to spend billions of dollars on expensive carbon capture and sequestrations equipment to continue operating some of their facilities. So basically, the facilities were approved. After the fact, they're engaged. The economy then relies on them. And oh, by the way, you got to change them. That's a bait and switch. But that they don't care. I mean, the government doesn't care when it comes in and tells you to spend not their money. It's just, you know, hey, it's for the world. Don't you care? We're going to get Greta in here on you. Listen, you got to care. I don't care. I mean, I'm all for being a good steward of our environment. I actually am. I really am. I love localized efforts for, you know, cleaning trash at the riverside and for doing things that that help, you know, keep clean water and reduce emissions. I'm for that. Then you get hyper on it. And when you get hyper on it and you short the entire economy by putting regulations in effect that are just untenable, there's zero ability here to get this done to that level. And then if you don't make it, they're going to wind up stacking on the penalties and fees. Says the EPA recently finalized its power plant rule, which will kill America's existing supply of baseload generation from coal. At the same time, the rule will deter any investment in new baseload generation from natural gas. This means the rule is going to drive up consumer energy costs, impair grid reliability, and chill economic growth. And the rule is also an unfair power grab that defies Supreme Court decisions. So, yeah. But the Green New Deal doesn't care. The cult of net zero does not care. Their only concern right now is, did they get their agenda put in as quickly as possible? They don't care about the cost to you. They don't care about the level of inconvenience, or for that matter, the inability of the infrastructure that we currently have to sustain it. They don't care about what it does to the environment to dig out the materials they need, as long as it's done somewhere else. And then you got this. In the middle of it all, let's make sure we have an army of acolytes. Pray tell, Phil, what do you mean? I mean, let's go ahead and make sure that we have the minions. We got to have the minions. Every bad guy's got to have his minions. And so right now, President Joe Biden is asking Congress for $8 billion to hire hundreds of thousands of workers for his New Deal-inspired jobs program called the Climate Change or Climate Corps. The American Climate Corps. You may remember, by the way, there was going to be the Climate Conservation Corps as part of the massive spending bill they had. Which one was this one? It was called, was it the infrastructure bill? No, the Inflation Reduction Act. That's right. The Inflation Did Not Get Reduced Act. He asked for $10 billion. It got written out. Congress at least bowed up on something and said, no, we're not giving you $10 billion. So what's he going to do? He's going to come back now and ask for at least eight. 50,000 new people whose whole job it is to be Green New Deal, you know, acolytes. Out there doing all the good things, saving the world. We're going to make sure that every tortoise and every red-cockaded woodpecker and all of the snail darters are going to be fine. And we're going to make sure that you understand that you can't even touch the water on your farm, even if you're the one who built the pond. I'm sorry, that's not the way this works. Those are considered waters of the U.S. And oh, by the way, yeah, you know that mine you've got on your property that your family's owned for a number of years? I'm sorry, we're shutting that down. We're going to make you go ahead and retool that power plant that was approved by Congress 12 years ago. Yeah, you got to redo that. It's going to cost you $120 million. That's okay, though. It's for the environment. 50,000 new Americans allegedly paid for by the government. That's what we need, is 50,000 more government employees. Awesome. But then I look at this. You know, the environment, there's some beautiful places. I'm a huge fan of nature. I love getting outside. I would sit outside oftentimes before I would sit inside. If I could do my radio show outside, we'd do it. The Joshua trees out in California are a beautiful sight. U2 even named their album after Joshua Tree. Century-old Joshua trees in the California desert, according to Just the News from about 5 days ago. A 2,300-acre solar project is going up in Boron, South Dakota, or excuse me, Southern California, I'm sorry. And they're going to have to cut down century-old Joshua trees in order to make way. It says, besides the destruction of the old trees, the residents living near the project say the county and state officials who have approved it have ignored their concerns about construction dust and the impacts to endangered species. But it's okay. It fits the agenda. It fits the agenda. Get on board with the agenda, people. Listen, when we get back from this break, we're going to wrap this up with me talking about what's happening in Huntsville, Alabama. Huntsville, Alabama? What's there? How about electric school buses paid for with your tax dollars? Whoop, whoop. All the fun. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two on this Taco Tuesday. I'm finishing up dipper number one, the Green New Steel. So, listen, what's amazing is when you think about that, you know, that old definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Story off of 256 Today, which is, you know, a news source for things that happen in the northern part of the state of Alabama. 256today.com has a story that came out 4 days ago. It says two public school systems in the Tennessee Valley received a federal rebate funding earmarked for the purchase of clean buses. Well, now, going to get some clean buses. The money is part of $6.9 million awarded by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA. Huntsville City Schools is getting $8.625 million in rebate funding to purchase 25 clean school buses. Fort Payne is getting $1.3 million to purchase 4 clean school buses. Gosh. Anyway, overall, the rebates will help schools purchase 51 clean school buses in 10 school districts across the state. Well, that's just awesome. Free money. It's just free. I'm sorry. It came from somebody's pocket at some point or off the printing press, one or the other. So the reminder here, by the way, the EPA's clean school bus program is what they call it. It was created by President Biden's bipartisan infrastructure law. I wish they'd quit leaving that bipartisan word in there because it really wasn't. But the program will provide $5 billion nationally to transform the nation's fleet of school buses to electric buses. Terry Sewell, who I mentioned a moment ago, Congresswoman Terry Sewell, she was the only member of Alabama's delegation who voted for this thing. She's the only Democrat we have, too. She made this glowing statement. It's going to help reduce pollution and make our communities healthier, but it'll also save our school districts money and free up resources to invest in our students. That is such crap. That is such absolute crap. Well, listen, $6.9 million. Bigger than that. $8.6 million just to Huntsville alone. There you go. So I look at this and go, haven't I heard about a problem somewhere with this? That whole EPA grant thing, school bus, haven't they been having some problems? All right, so here we are, story on May 31st, 256 today. Huntsville's getting 25 clean school buses. In the state of Maine, just about 3 months ago, electric school buses arrived with problems, and the Maine Department of Education is advising its school districts to take the buses off the road till the state can inspect them. Okay. Now, they're all from different manufacturers. I don't know where the ones from Huntsville are going to be from. But it's the same program. The ones in Maine came from a grant provided by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's Clean School Bus Program. Just giving away money, just throwing money at it. That's what they're doing here. They are literally just like, just throwing money at people. Buy it. Buy one. But is it a good one? Just buy it. Oh, okay. By the way, what you have to do is you have to give away one of your good school buses in order to be allowed to buy the new school bus. It's a trade-off thing. You'll take that one off the road. Okay. So now in Maine, they've been taking them off the road and, oh, by the way, having problems with the ones that are on the road. They say that right now, the kind of wear they're seeing on these buses, these electric buses, is consistent with buses that have much higher mileage, not new ones that have been driven less than 1,000 miles. One of the transportation directors said he was driving one of the buses recently and he had to steer it off into a snowbank when the brakes went out. Great. He said, I called from the snowbank and I was like, this is it. We're done. And he was tired of it. He's finding all kinds of. Now, some of the stuff is not electric vehicle stuff. Some of it's just pure shoddy workmanship. Things like the inspections are finding loose body rivets, inoperative auxiliary fans, power steering hoses rubbing up against brackets, leaky windshields. You know why, though? It's because when the government throws money at a problem, people who are willing to capitalize off of that, they throw together something to get the government money, and quality goes out the door. This is not about the free market going, well, we better build the better mousetrap. Make sure you got the best one. When you have the best one, you'll get more customers. When you have the government buying them for you, all you got to do is say, we can make that. And they go, okay, but it better run. Oh, it'll run. Oh, you want it to run for more than a day or three? Okay. You've already got counselors in the school systems in Maine asking if they can just scrap the electric buses altogether. Meanwhile, there's this. Story from GovTech.com, dated March 1st of this year. The director of the New York Association for Pupil Transportation, that's the school bus association, by the way, the New York Association for Pupil Transportation. That's a fancy way of saying, kids, get on the bus. Said that 20 out of 100 electric school buses are down on any given day due to problems with the buses or their charging devices. Awesome. So right now, you've got buses that are doing things like hitting potholes only to have the batteries shake loose and next thing you know, they can't run. Then you got the chargers that aren't working. Then you've got like the Bethlehem School District 5 out of 7 electric school buses purchased 3 years ago have been off the road in recent weeks. This is, and yet we're excited. Terry Sewell's super excited. She got, what, $8.6 million for the city of Huntsville to buy electric school buses. Awesome. And I'm looking around the nation right now, and everybody who's been getting these buses is having problems. When you've got 20% of the fleet that you spent billions of dollars on, not on the road in the first year, then you have just wasted our tax dollars. I mean, that's, anybody else would be sued for this. But it's the government, so the Green New Steel is allowed to perpetuate. Listen, this is what happens when socialists are allowed to take hold of part of the economy, and they're given the ability to make regulations that guide and determine. And then, oh, by the way, when you've got people who don't bother to read the bill, just pass the bill. We'll figure out what's in it later. And it's billions and billions and billions of dollars for agenda-driven items that the economy didn't ask for. They just told you to have it. That's a whole lot different. Some of y'all heard me say it before, but I'm going to say it again. Here's my analogy. Think about cell phones. When we first had cell phones, they were a novelty. You'd see them on TV. Some rich guy had one in the back of his limo. That's cool. And then they became a little more ubiquitous. People began to recognize they could have a cell phone, but they were huge. They came in a bag. You had to carry it inside. And if it was given to you as part of your job, you had to check it back in when you were done. And then things began to improve a little bit. Technology went up. Why? Because the private sector said, we could sell these things. We could make some money. People will buy it. Next thing you know, you have people putting little antennas on the back windows of their car because they've got a wire they can hook up on the inside to their cell phone, and they can talk to people while they drive if they're in the right place. And it got popular. Next thing you know, we got phones that are like, you know, half the size of a brick, and you can carry them around sort of in your pocket, and they're kind of cool, but you'll burn through your minutes, so don't use them too often. I'll just turn it on when I need to call you, and if it's an emergency, you know where to find me. And then we went from there to the flip phone. You could actually fit in your pocket, and you didn't burn through all your minutes, but you could have a family plan. And then they started texting, and then they added the internet, and then the iPhone came out. And next thing you know, people are waiting in line to buy the next new thing because why? Everybody has one now. Do you know anybody that doesn't have one? That, my friends, is the free market. But they didn't do that with EVs. This would be like back in the days of the bag phone, them mandating that everybody had to have a bag phone. You don't have enough signal strength. You're not sure you can even use it. You don't have the antenna for the car. You don't want to spend the thousands to buy it. It's like a brick. You're not sure if you can use it. It's kind of neat. But do you really need it? But if you let the market develop on its own, it will be sustainable because the private sector will find a way to make money on it by finding the best way to make the best one. And people will flock to it and spend their hard-earned dollars to buy one because it has proven itself. But socialism doesn't feel that way. Socialism says the central government knows best and we're going to make sure you understand you're going to have it now and you're going to like it. And so I don't care whether the system is ready. I don't care whether the infrastructure is there. You guys get out there and buy yourself an EV. We'll help pay for it, and you will like it. What do you mean we can't charge them up because we don't have enough charging infrastructure? Well, we don't care. It's about the climate, dummy. And that's where we are. EVs are like the modern-day bag phone, and you're all just trying to figure out how to make it work. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll switch dippers when we get back. I'm going to take in y'all in a walk through Biden's world. It ain't always pretty. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.